Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Evening. Good
Amen, Sister
evening.
Shoshana, bless the Lord.
Yes,
Amen.
I'm here tonight.
Hey, bless the Lord.
No
Amen.
problem.
Amen, amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Truly a
Amen.
blessing to be here tonight. God has been good, amen.
Amen.
And we cannot contest that. We are fighting a losing battle if we should stand against what God stands for. It's like kicking against the pricks. You cannot win. Cannot fight God and win. God is in control. I want to welcome you this evening. Today is this 18th day of April. Wow, the fourth month already. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our peril, our sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." These are some strong words, and
Yeah.
it reminds us that as we go through life, we will face some of these very situations. We're going to face distress. We're going to face persecution. We're going to face famine. We're going to face nakedness. We're going to face sword.
Amen.
Paul is reminding us that we shouldn't let neither principalities, nor powers, nor angels, nor death, nor things present, nor things to come. We shouldn't let them deter us from our purpose. We are to be persuaded in our thoughts, in our mind, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing at all shall we shall we should allow to come between us and our God. I know you might be saying, Brother Scott, that's hard to do. When I have my problems are so surmounting, my problems are so huge. Brother Scott, you don't even know what I'm going through. My job, they have been pressuring me for this, they have been that. Brother Scott, I don't even want to tell you what the house will look like. But no matter what the situation is, don't let it stand between you and your God. Be persuaded. Have that persuasion as you go through life, knowing that it won't be all bread and cheese. It won't be easy. But when you have a make-up mind, Paul said that we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You know, but through him we are more than conquerors. So let us remain the conquerors that we are as we pursue the Christian walk, as we pursue the righteous walk, as we live for Jesus. That's what matters. You know, nothing else matters. All that matters is that we live for Jesus. Amen. How good it feels to know that you're in his perfect will for your life. You know, not his permissive,
Amen.
But his perfect will. How good it feels to know that you hear a voice and that voice relieve your troubled mind. How good it feels to know that you hear a voice and that voice sounds so sweet that it repositioned you in line for blessing. How good it feels to know that you don't have to cross Jordan alone. You know, how good it feels to know that he is right with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. What comfort it gives to know that he is for us and not against us. You know, it is something to give God thanks for. Amen. Let us pray as we begin. Lord, prepare us to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and truth. With thanksgiving, we'll be a living sanctuary for you. We present ourselves a living sacrifice to you, mighty God, wholly acceptable, which is our reasonable service. And we are not conformed to this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove that which is good and your perfect and acceptable will. Here we are this evening, another Bible study, that we come to learn of you. Hallelujah. Where we come to let our weight down, lay it at your feet so that you can impact us with your word. Oh, we want a word this evening that will transform our life, that will give us strength for the journey ahead, that will give us spiritual muscles as we exercise our faith, that will charge us, mighty God, so that we can reach higher heights and deeper depths in you. Lord, I pray that you will speak this evening through your word. Holy Spirit, come now and within us abide. We pray against every distraction, anything, mighty God, that will take away our focus. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and we declare, mighty God, that we will never leave the way we came, but we will leave with something, substance, that will take us into the next level as we tell you thanks. May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Are you enjoying the book of Romans?
Amen, indeed. Praise God.
Yes, we started it like, I think it's about three weeks ago, and we're still at chapter 2. You know, it's it's indeed, it's full of meat. You know, it's full of meat. And before this, many times I would read through the book of Romans, and I would just read it through straight as if I'm in a hurry to complete it. You know, and most time when you do that, you don't capture the real, substance of it when you just go through it like that. Because I'm telling you, the word of God is spirit. And you have to be in the spirit to understand the things of the spirit. Amen. It's not just brush over. Sometimes you have to dig deep in order that to break anything off it. For many of us who are farmers or know about farming, when you get a good bearing from the crop, like a nice yellow yam, you know, you have to dig wide and deep in order not to break off any of that yam, leave it in the ground. So be the word of God. When we are exploring the word of God, we have to get deep in it, in the spirit, so that we can flesh out everything there is to give strength to us. Amen. And so as we look at Romans chapter 2, we stop at verse 12 last week. God does not judge by appearance. We will see that God does not judge by appearance, nor knowledge, nor religious identity. But in fact, he judged truthfully by the heart and by what we actually do with the light we have been given. He judged the heart, what we do with the light, the word of God that is given unto us. Doesn't judge you by the appearance. You remember Samuel, when he went to Jesse's house to anoint a king, Eliab, Abimadab, and Shaman, they were all rejected. Those were David's brothers. They were rejected. Even though their outer appearance, they were strong and robust. And Jesse, their father, would present them to Samuel, the prophet Samuel, assuming the man of God will anoint one of them, because these were army bodies, men, fit and look, attractive to the eye as one that of great warrior. David himself was just a shepherd boy. He was out of sight and out of mind. But God has chosen him from the backside of the desert, tending his father's sheep. While man may look at the outer appearance, God look at the heart. Amen. Can we have a reader for Romans chapter 2, verses 12 to 16? Anyone? Romans chapter 2, 12 to 16.
Hello, Romans chapter 12, verse
No,
12 to
Romans
16.
chapter 2, 12 to
Romans
16.
chapter 2, verse 12 to 16. Read in
Yes.
the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All who sin apart from the law will also perish. Apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law up for themselves. Even though they do not have the law, they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts sometimes accusing them, and other times even defending them. This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares.
Amen. Bless the Lord, Sister Hutchinson. We see where it proclaims that God's judgment hold all accountable. Everyone is accountable. The Gentiles perish for sinning against their conscience. Remember that the Gentile did not have the law, but they have the conscience. And we mentioned about it in chapter 1, where we look at general revelation. They had general revelation. That means they are seeing the unmade of God. They are seeing what God has created and know that behind this creation, there must be a God somewhere. There must be a superior being that has made the sky, the sun, the moon, that has made the earth, that has created them. There must be something more than what their common sense or their senses can see. When they sin, that's the Gentile, they sin against their conscience. Because their conscience is saying that this is wrong. Their conscience is condemning them that this, what I am doing, is wrong. While the Jews will face like a stricter judgment because they fail to obey the Mosaic law. They fail to obey the law that God has given to Moses for them. Amen. That they must live by. That's in the, so they will be they will be judged by a stricter punishment because they have not only they don't have not only the general revelation, but they have this special revelation. And we say that this special revelation is the word of God. They have the word of God. Amen. So they will be judged stricter. So the accountability that we will give to God will match our knowledge and obedience. Right? The accountability that we have to give to God, it will match what we know and our obedience, how we respond to it. Amen. The more you learn, is the more accountable you are. The more you read, the more God would expose stuff to you, is the more to whom the word of God would say, to whom much is given, much is required. Amen. So Paul challenges the Jews who thought they were special. Yes, the Jews, they thought they were special because they have this special revelation, the word of God. Simple, but simple having and hearing the law does not justify anyone. You know, not because you have the law, it doesn't justify you. Not because you know the word of God, it doesn't justify you. Only those who perfectly obey it, only those who perfectly obey the word of God are considered righteous before God. You know, so you know the word and you obey it, those are the ones that are righteous. Not only the ones that know it and doesn't practice it. You know, for verse 13 tells us that for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified, are justified before God. So not only the hearers, you know, the hearers, you have to move from hearing to doing the word, practicing the word. So the Gentile without the law, sin without special revelation, sinning without special revelation, that's sinning without the word of God, perish, and they will perish without it. And the word of God said, there's no excuse as they violate universal moral knowledge. And the Jew, on the other hand, they will be judged by the law for sinning despite knowing it. You know, amplifying guilt through greater revelation. To whom much is given again, much is required. Amen. So, have you ever stopped to think that sometimes the unsaved loved others more than the saved? They love more than how we love as Christians. They show kindness and even give more grace than we as Christians do. Yeah, sometimes it happens. Sometimes you'll find a person who
Amen.
doesn't know God. You haven't seen them in church, or you haven't seen them doing things that are godly. You haven't seen them doing things that are godly. Yet, the way they live their life, when you look at some aspect of their life, you can see they're showing love. You can see they're showing that they care for each other. You can see that they are sharing. You know, you can see that they are genuinely encouraging you. You know, when they give you the blessing, they mean it from the bottom of their heart. You know, and I'm talking about the unsaved versus the saved person that are saved. And I'm saying that sometimes the unsaved show more love than we as the people of Almighty God. Amen. Sister Hutchinson?
Yes, not that I'm straying from the point, but sometimes even when the unsaved is keeping a function, you can see the togetherness in their support more than when the church people is keeping a function. You know, you just see they just go to support each other, and then when you're keeping anything, you have to be doing it over and over to get support as some church people. But let us not feel discouraged because, you know, that's just
Yes.
life. We just have to come together.
Yes, I'm so true. You know, they are so insupportive of each other. You'd be surprised to know the togetherness, how they spread the word, if they're having a function, if they're having a party or whatever. The word get around so quickly, and then when they tell others, when they invite others to come, people would show up. People would not only just promise that they're going to come, but they would come and they would support the event. They would support the cause. Why can't we have that among us as people of God? You know, I heard the testimony of a pastor. He was saying that he grew up in the house of pastor as of his father was a pastor and his mother also a pastor. You know, and he said when he reached the age of accountability, I think it was about, he was then about 21, he said. He said he broke out of the house because they have him growing up in church and stuff. And he enjoyed the fellowship because that's all he knew. But one night he broke out of the house through whatever window or door. And he went to a party. He went to a club. And he said when he was there until he got his full, his eyes got full, and he see what he saw. And when he broke back into the house, his father, the pastor, was there standing right there looking at him coming in. And his father said to him that, "Did you enjoy what you see out there? How was it? Tell me, how was it?" And he said, "Dad, I see all sort of happy people. They were together. They were laughing and having fun. I've not seen that in the church. All I see is people in the church as if they just eat a piece of lime. You know, I'm looking bitter and stuff. You know, and that just, it just opened like a side of me that say, why, you know, why people of God don't experience or just don't give themselves to that happiness? Because we are on the events train. You know, we are going up yonder. We have so much hope to look forward to. You know, and that is why, you see, Paul would admonish the Romans church. And he would say to them, he would say to them that because of the lifestyle that they live, they cause the Gentiles to blaspheme against the name of Jesus. You know, because they are preaching a life, but they are not living the life. You know, what they are saying doesn't match up with what they are doing. And first, in simple, that's what Paul is saying to the Roman church. You know, and Paul is saying that God will judge the secret of their heart. God, through Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, judges secrets of men. Whatever hidden motive, not just the action, not just your action, but the motive behind your action. How many of you know that the motives comes before you actually do something? You actually conceive it in your mind. You actually been tempting your fingers and your hands and your feet and your eyes to move towards that sin that you're about to commit. You know, you have it in your mind first. So God know the motive. You know, not just your action, not just what you did, but he knows the motive. You know, we are not evaluated by how much Bible we know or by how we respond to what. You know, let me say this another way. We are not evaluated by how much Bible we know, how much we know the Bible, but rather by how you respond to what we know, or we respond to what we know, what we read of in the Bible. A holy life is not about information. You know, it's about obedience, to live a holy life. You can have a lot of Bible knowledge. You can know a lot about the Bible. You can be top heavy with the Bible written all over. But if you are not obedient to it, it doesn't make any sense. If you are not obedient to walk in the precepts, you know, of how God would cause you to align yourself with the word, with what you know, you know, it doesn't make any sense. So obedience is key to knowing the word of God. You know, you could sacrifice every week or sacrifice all I want. But David said that obedience is better than any sacrifice you could have ever given. You know, obedience is better than any sacrifice any of us could ever give. You know, any tear you could have cried, obedience is better than it. You know, just be obedient to the word of God. Be obedient to what the scripture is saying. Be obedient to the precepts. You know, when the Holy Spirit nudges you to do something, respond quickly. You know, respond quickly. That is a part of walking closely with God. You know, your response. Don't be slow in your response to what God is leading you to do, because then you would have been delayed in your obedience, which is still disobedience. And that is why so much animals were being sacrificed in the Old Testament, because of the disobedience of the people of God. They choose to stray in the path of unrighteousness. And because of that, they have to be sacrificing every single deer, everything. And it's so it is happening with us now. We have to be sacrificing so much because of our obedience. Sometimes we sacrifice our very health. Sometimes we sacrifice our very freedom. We sacrifice our very job, our own household or whatever. We sacrifice it because we are not walking in obedience with the word of Almighty God. And it causes us to be sacrificing so much. Amen. Romans chapter 2, verse 17 to 24. Anyone there want to read that for us? 17 to 24.
I'll take it.
Go ahead, Brother Vinton.
Now, you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and boast in God, if you know his will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor for the foolish, a teacher of little children, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. You then, who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you.
Amen. Bless the Lord,
Amen.
Brother Vinton. Yes, that's a lot. That's a lot right there. You know, it expressed Jewish hypocrisy by contrasting their privileged knowledge of the law with their failure to obey it. You know, showing that boasting in religious identity while living immorally dishonors God and causes the Gentile to blaspheme his name, as we said, causes the Gentile to blaspheme. You know, so Paul confront the religious hypocrisy. People who say they know God's law, but they don't live to honor him. They don't live to honor God. True identity with God is inward and not outward. You know, is in a relationship that one have with God that would cause it to explode in this, in whatever surrounding, whatever era that you're in. Your little light that is in you is now exploding to lighten up the dark areas in this world. You know, we see Paul challenge the Jew. You know, he would be like, ironically, he would be mocking them, addressing them as self-assured Jews, self-righteous. He said, but if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God, knowing Knowing God's will, approve excellence. When you know God's will, it causes you to live in excellence, live an excellent life. The Jew consider himself as a guide to the blind. And let me say, the Jew are religious folks. Amen. Jew were proud and confident in the fact that the law was given to them as a nation. Yes, Minister Linnet, they were so confident. Samuel told Paul, it's better to obey than to offer sacrifice. Amen, Sister Grant. Yes. So the Jew, the religious folks, they know what they're called to do. Amen. They know what they're called to do. And that's what, when you're enlightened by the word of God, you know what you're called to do. The next step that follow your knowing is your obedience. So they're called to be a guide to the blind, a light in the darkness, instructor of foolish, teacher of little ones. They would consider themselves covered in truth. They know the truth. But if you know the truth, let the truth set you free. By obedience, by your obedience, amen? So they are embodied in knowledge and truth. They are covered in truth, according to verse 20. They are an instructor to the foolish, a teacher to babies. They know the law. We're looking at folks that know the law, but they do not practice the law. Paul asks them, you teach others, do you not teach yourself? You're teaching others to do this and to do that. First, you need to teach yourself before you do that. You preach not no stealing, yet you steal. You say no adultery, yet you commit it. They hate, you said they are to hate idols, yet they rob temples. You may say, how did they rob temples? Verse 22, it said, that would be like a temple theft or sacrilege. And sacrilege is when someone shows disrespect or violation towards something considered holy and sacred. When you disrespect or show violation to the things of God. They say you boast in the law and then you break the law. Do you dishonor God? Yes, they dishonor God by doing that. They boast in the law, saying that the law is holy and right, yet they break the law. In James would say that the hypocrisy, when there's an hypocrite, when you do something in pretense, you first deceive yourself. You're deceiving yourself first because you know that you're against that which you are saying. So you first being an hypocrite against your very self. James chapter 1, verse 22 said, Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. Not only hearers, not only know that you know the word, but do it. We read, I think it was first Romans 1, verse 16 that said, the goodness of God leads to repentance. So you know how good God is. That should lead you to the very heart of repentance. Because of this pretense, the climax of this the pretense, it leads the Gentile to blaspheme, to speak disrespectfully in contempt and mockery towards God. That's what blaspheme means. It speaks about the deep disrespect, contempt, and mockery, especially towards Almighty God. When others would look onto your worship and they see your worship, you're living a life anti-purpose. Yes, Sister Camille, that word that you brought Thursday, anti-purpose. When they see that your life is anti-purpose, you're against the very purpose where God has called you into. It caused the Gentiles now, are people looking unto you to say that, what is happening over there? Imagine you're saying this and you're saying that, and it doesn't match with your action. So it caused them now to disrespect God. Show contempt or mockery because they are saying that you are a religious person, and my life that I live as a non-religious person is even better than the life that you are living, because I am not living in pretense. The Gentiles, they are saying that we are not living in pretense. We are living as is. If we are doing bad, then we are doing bad. We are not pretending. We are doing it. But what the Jew were doing, they have the law, they know the law, but they're preaching the law, but they weren't practicing the law. We will find later down in the scripture where Paul was saying that they close the door of righteousness, they close the door of heaven against everyone, including themselves. Because now the Gentiles are the ones that are not, that doesn't know the law. They are blaspheme. They become blasphemers because of the lifestyle that the Jews are living. And the Jew is like closing the door to heaven and keeping themselves because they are not allowed in because of their unrighteousness. And they are not allowing the Gentiles in as well. And that's a big barrier that we find in the house of God even today, where you'll find people would be coming into church, into the sanctuary, receiving the word of God. They are even communicant members taking the Holy Sacrament, and yet in the course of the week they would live anti-purpose. Amen. They would live against the very core of their belief throughout the week, and then come back Sunday again, lift up holy hands. And that caused people that know you and know the lifestyle that you live to turn away from the very light. They don't want to be associated. That is why yesterday unsaved, they would say they're not going down to that church because too much hypocrites are down in there, because they see the way that some believers would live. And that was what was happening in Rome when Paul wrote this letter to the Roman. And every time I read a portion of Romans, you know, every time I read a little portion of it, I have to go back to Romans chapter 1, where Paul say, your faith have been talked about all over the world. Your faith has been echoing in the darkness all around the world. And and it always caused me to be thinking back and say, why would Paul would say that their faith has been spoken of all over the world, yet you would be admonishing them in this way? You know, they live in double standard life. They are saying that they are teachers to the babe. They are saying that they do not lie, and yet they lie. Do not, you know, I'm seeing like an anti-action, an anti-purpose action being presented here, you know, and this would really open up our eyes to what Jesus was saying in St. Matthew 23, rather. You know, when Jesus was giving the woe unto the Pharisees were teachers of the law, just like the Jew, teachers of the law. The Pharisees, Jesus said, woe, give them a series of woe. You know, woe, woe. Hypocrisy is a spiritual devastation. You know, is a spiritual devastation, always going down, hypocrisy. It blocks self-awareness. You're not aware of even your own self anymore. It damages your witness. When you're an hypocrite, it damages your witness. You cannot spread the good news. You cannot honor the commission, the great commission that Christ has given unto us. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel unto all nations. You cannot honor it because your witness is now damaged, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Amen. Yes, your witness is no damage. You cannot talk. You have to be selective of the people that you are witnessing to know, because your light is not being lit in every circumstances and anywhere you go. You choose to turn off your light when you're at work, turn off your light when you're in the marketplace, turn off your light when you're driving, because if anybody bad drive, you're going to tell them a piece of your mind. So you don't want no light there. You know, you don't want your lights to be at the workplace, because you know that you actually arrive at work 8:15 when you should be there at 8 o'clock, and you're going to clock in that you reach at 8:05 nonetheless. So you turn off your light at work. Your lunchtime, you take over the time, then you come back. You turn off the light. You don't want no light to shine on you there. You know, and people are looking from the outside into you. That was what was happening to the Jew. We can point fingers as much as we want at the Jews now. We can point fingers at them, at the Pharisees. We can point fingers, you know, but it's also pointing back on us. And every time I see stuff like that, it caused me to have a deeper introspection of what's going on in my heart, what's going on in my small corner. You know, whenever it comes time for me to witness or to let or to come on to present at a Bible study like this or whatever meeting, religious meeting or whatever, there's a tugging in my spirit, because I have to make sure that there is no hindrance, there is no hang up, there is nothing that would cause my light not to shine. You know, it as days go by or as time evolve, it caused me to not to, you know, at when I just started out in Christendom, I used to be so selective in whom I share the word of God with, because number one, I was naive. I couldn't explain what was going on, the transformation that was going on. Number two, I didn't know the word well enough to but now I realize that you don't have to know the word well enough to present, to let your light shine. With the little that you know is enough to light up some dark corners. Amen. So Jesus was saying to the Pharisees in St. Matthew chapter 23, you know, then Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribe and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." You know who Moses is? Moses is the one that God was raised up from the backside of the desert to go deliver his people, to deliver the Israelites out of bondage, out of slavery.
Amen.
You know, that's Moses. Moses was the one who saw God face backside of God. Moses was the one who go up into the mountain and spoke with God as he would be speaking with man. Moses is the one that God would entrust the commandments in his hand. Moses was the one who God would have equipped in such a way to strike the rock, to speak to the rock, or to present a people before him. You know, when they were hungry, when they were athirst, Moses would go up to God and say, "Provide," and God would provide. You know, Moses is the one that has led them for 40 years through the wilderness, you know, until he hand over to the governor, Joshua. You know, and these people have the audacity now to want to sit in Moses' seat. Jesus is speaking. He says, saying, the scribe and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. You know? And verse 3, all therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works. For they say, and they do not. They say the thing, but they do not do it. For they bind every burden and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulder, and they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their bodies, their works do they do for to be seen of men. Whatever they do it to be seen of men. They made broad their philanthropies, philatories, you know, and enlarged the borders of their garment. And the philatories, they are the law that they wear around their neck, like a yoke. Is a big something like you know, like a scroll, like or whatever. And they would write the law on it. So wherever they go, people see the law written on it and know that they are the Pharisees, you know. But these Pharisees know they would make it so big, yeah, so that you could see from a distance, you know, and yet they're not practicing it. Verse 6, and love, they love the uttermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue and greetings in the market. And men call them Rabbi, Rabbi. Down to verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted. Verse 13. But woe unto you, scribe and Pharisees, hypocrites, for he shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for he neither go in yourself, nor suffer them that are entering to go in. That's what we said like 2 minutes ago. They make it hard for others to enter. They lock the door of heaven, and they themselves are not going in because of the double standard that they are living, and they are suffering others from entering in as well. So Jesus is saying in verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' house, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, he shall receive a greater damnation. You know, widows' house, they take away the widows' house. When their husband die, they will take it away from them. No, no mercy. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for he compassed sea and land to make one proselyte. And a proselyte, you know, a proselyte would be like a person who was not an original Jew, but they are now converted to Judaism, you know, a proselyte. So Jesus is saying that they are compassing sea and land. They take boat and go all over to the other side to convert people to their doctrine. They would go on the land and they go everywhere to convert people to their doctrine. That's apostolate. They change from one persuasion to another. You know, so they were not originally Jew, but now they are converted. You know, and when you make a disciple, when you make a disciple to follow the law of God, you make him twofold more than the child of hell than yourself. You know, so you're not being good, any good at your witnessing anymore, because you are acting the hypocrite, the pretender. Amen. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold in the temple is a debtor. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. You blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like a whitewashed sepulchre. Sepulchre is a grave. a tomb, what dead man bones are buried in. Woe unto you, you're like a whitewashed sepulchre, which indeed appear beautiful outside, but within full of dead man bones and all of all uncleanness. Full of decay. Amen. So even so also outwardly appearing righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build a tomb of the prophet and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. That's a parallel of what Paul was admonishing the Jew with in Romans chapter 2. They are living a double standard life. And we're living in a world now that we know that double standard life cannot outlast anything good. It's going to show up somehow or the other. Whatever you do in a double standard format is going to catch up with you one day. I always say that there's only one truth. And if you tell that one truth, you won't have no problem with nobody because everyone knows that one truth. And even if you just wake up, you can tell. But if you're going to practice lies, you got to tell a lie to get out of another lie. And sometimes you see that person, and you don't even remember what you told that person, and it catch up on you because it wasn't the truth. So you cannot, it's like you don't know, you don't remember. The truth shall set you free. When you practice the truth, then you have nothing to hide because that's the truth. You have spoken the truth. And if they ask that 10 years from now, you're going to tell them about that same truth. Amen. Yes, so double standard life doesn't last. If you're a cheater, that cheating is going to come back round on you because it's going to catch up on you. And I'm telling you this from experience. I was a cheater once. And every time I tried to cover my tracks, it never covered fully enough. Always some loophole, always something to expose what's going on the inside. So I know what I'm saying when I'm saying that double standard life, it doesn't pay, it doesn't last. You're fool. First, you think you're planning and fooling someone that is in your proximity, but first you're fooling yourself because when you make that plan was made inside of you, and you are fooling yourself, and that is what caused you to be weak on the inside because you're so deteriorated at that point. Amen. Yes, so God is after the inner transformation, not performance, not the performance, not the all the performance that you can do, the amen, the shift and the move and the whatever outward thing you do to express us. God look at the inner transformation, what it's look like, what is happening on the inside. He look, you can look spiritually correct, know all the jargons and the moves, and you can make all the right moves at the right time, say the right amen and the right hallelujah at the right time. You can look spiritually correct, but still far from God. Holiness begins in the heart. Holiness begins with your motives, your desire, your thoughts, inviting God into this hidden place, not just your behavior. Not just the behavior, but the inner part. When the music fades, when the music turn off, and All that is around is darkness. What do you see? What do you hear? What is in the innermost part of you? What this, what substance, you know, is there? Is all right in the opening, you know, where the light is, everybody seeing you and you sing and you praise. But what happened when you leave the church and you go home? Is, do you still have a praise within? Is there a transformation that has taken place within that can propel you in good health through the dark times in life when there is persecution, when there is distress, when there is all hell breaking loose? Do you have that momentum to propel you into a next level? You know, that's the type of transformation that we as people of God, we here tonight, want in our life. We need that transformation. Do I honestly want to be seen as godly? Or do I actually want to become godly? What is it? Do I, you know, these are the questions that I would ask myself. Do I want to be seen as godly? Or do I want to actually become godly? And that's our desire tonight, to become godly, not only to be seen as godly, not only to be hearers of the word. Yes, Sister Joy, Romans chapter 2. Yeah, and we started at verse 12, and we went down all the way down. Yes, we don't only want to be hearers of the word, you know, but we want to be doers of the word. Any questions as we move on? Any questions, anything to share?
Beautiful word.
Any questions, anything to share, anything to add? Are we learning?
That was a beautiful word.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, Brother Vinton. Amen.
Amen, Deacon. Praise God.
Bless the Lord. Yes, so when we look at the Romans chapter 2, the themes, the big themes that we're looking at, we're seeing that God is fear. He's not, you know, he's not a God of partiality. He's fear. And we are seeing that everyone is accountable. Everyone is accountable. You know, and we're seeing that outward religion is not enough. Outward religion doesn't cut it. You have to live Christian life, live a life of holiness. You know, we're seeing that true faith changes the heart. Hypocrisy is spiritually dangerous. You know, hypocrisy not only close the door of heaven for you, but it closed the door of heaven for many who are looking at the life, the double standard life that you live. You know, so we as a people of God, we have a responsibility. Amen. And
amen.
We pray for strength. We pray for God's strength and his grace, that he will equip us, enable us to walk the walk and to talk the talk, to live life that is pleasing and acceptable to God. You know, I know this word this evening is a deep word. You know, it's a word that causes much introspection. It's a word that causes us to really examine ourselves, really draw close to God and be under his microscope, so that dark areas in our life can be magnified, and so that we can be aware of it. You know, Bible study, when we come to a Bible study like these, is for us to first mature in the word. It's for us to first grow. It's for us to first put on the armor of God, so that when we go there to witness, when we go there to stand against the wiles of the devil, we can be rooted and firmly grounded in the word of Almighty God. So nothing will cause us to stray or to sway to the right or to the left. Amen. Yes, Sister Camille.
Yes, Deacon, I just wanted to just backtrack a little. When you talk about the double standard life, it brought me back to when Sister Grant would have presented on Psalm 1, about standing in the way of sinners. When we live a certain way during the week and then we go to church on Sunday and we're leading worship and we are holier than thou. But in the week, the onlookers, the sinners would see us doing some of the same things that they are doing, or things that not even them themselves would do, and they would say, I don't want to be a part of that church. And it just brought me back to that word in Psalm 1 that said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. So it as you rightly said, it calls for a deep introspection and self-examination to see, because sometimes we do the things and we just think, oh, we're getting away with it because we go to church and pastor might not call us out, or and we just think we're getting away with it. But God is taking note, He's aware. And if we're standing in the way of sinners, then there's going to be, if you are blessed to not stand in the way, then I believe that you are cursed to stand in the way, because it's the opposite, right? So if it's a blessed is a man who standeth
And
not
the
in the way of
coach,
sinners,
they are
it's a
sinners.
blessing. So then if you stand in the way of sinners, you're attracting a curse to yourself, So,
Yes.
and some of us, we don't look at it that deep. So as you would rightly say, it's really a time of introspection to see what we are doing. We persons may not know, those who are in authority are pastors and those who we look up to. But God knows, and He's taking note, and He's going to hold each of us accountable. I'm not sure favoritism, so it's not going to slide for Sister Camille because when she preached, she had a large altar call. No. She's still going to be held accountable. And so it's a very powerful word this week, Deacon. God bless you.
Amen.
Brother Everton,
Go ahead, Sister Grant.
this reminds me of a story that we read. I don't know many of you know it, where there was the lair and the hedgehog sat at the top of it, and no other animal could get into it because he was a hindrance with all these spikes or whatever that he has, preventing other animals from getting into the lair. And so I just see us as pretending to be Christians, because real Christians don't behave in a way that would prevent other people from entering God's kingdom. So we if we do certain things and behave in a certain manner, then we are hindering people from entering the kingdom of heaven,
My God.
and we'll be judged for it. And if you notice in the chat, I put cosmetic behavior
My
where people
God.
just pretend, you can take it off anytime because it's cosmetic.
Yes.
Jesus, mighty
So we
God.
have to be careful as Christians how we conduct our lives.
Oh God. Yes.
Thank you.
Amen. Sister Camille, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners. Yes, Sister Grant, I'm telling you, man, that word many a times is like it's only a corsage, cosmetic, as Sister Grant would say, cosmetic is only a corsage. It's like that you are like a that Linoleum. It's like your linoleum that is on the floor, and underneath that linoleum, that pretty linoleum, the board underneath it is eaten out by Chichi.
My God.
It's rotten underneath it,
Jesus.
but the top part is just a corsage, looks so pretty and clean. But
Cosmetic, man.
underneath
Mighty God.
is like insects, Chichi, eating out the very foundation of it. And it won't be long before everything just collapse. You know, because you're preaching one thing. You know, Sister Joy would say that they do things, the things that they taught others not to do or to avoid. They themselves are doing it. We ourselves are doing the things that we're telling others not to do. You know, and we're taking it from what Paul would admonish the Romans. And so, because we're seeing it living out in our lives as well, that is why you find witnessing to others become so selective.
Difficult to.
Yeah, and it's become so selective, Minister. We select the type of, we select the people that we want to give the gospel to,
Yes,
because we
because
know
of the
that
tools.
we
Yes,
have
my
the life
God.
that we are now living. It's so
Yes.
corrupted that we can't even
Yeah,
invite
and
our friend.
to each and everyone.
We can't even invite our closest friend to Bible study or to church or
Jesus.
whatever, because they know the
That
difference
other
that we're
side of
living
us.
in. And we
Glory
choose
to
to leave
God. Glory
Jerusalem.
to God. Glory to
We
God.
choose to leave
Jesus.
Jerusalem and go all the way down to Judea to go witness to people down to Judea. Because we
Yes.
know that Jerusalem in our hometown, our name is tarnished.
Yes,
God.
glory to God.
Because
We can't tell nobody about Jesus because
Jesus.
our name is being tarnished in our
Tarnish.
surrounding. We have to
Oh,
now move
yes, Lord
out
God.
of our
Yes.
surrounding to
Have
go
mercy.
witness to
You
somebody.
have
But
to begin at home. Begin at home. Begin at home.
you can't even tell your wife to come to church or your
Oh,
husband.
God. Begin at home. Yeah.
You know, you have to begin right in your Jerusalem,
Yeah.
right in the place where Jesus has planted you. Let your life shine. Your light shine before men that they will see the good work and come to glorify God.
Amen.
You
Amen.
know, and
Amen.
we find we as a people of God, we have fallen short in so many ways. And if ever a time we need to really prostrate before God and really bow down in
It's now
sackcloth and ashes, is
Jesus.
no, because as we read the word, it becomes so real to what we're going through even
What
now.
they're going through
This
right
word
now.
that has been written so much years ago has not
Still
been
relevant, still
alive,
relevant.
alive,
Amen. Alive
yeah, is now
Jesus.
alive within us and
Oh,
causing us to really examine ourselves. You know,
thank you.
being the spiritual Jew, you know, we, the people of God, is a time of deep reflection.
Perfection.
You know, I like I like a prayer meeting. I like a Bible study.
Yes.
You know, I like a good worship session.
Amen.
You know, I would find myself listening to just the music at times. Just the you know, like, oh great thou art, oh great thou art. No words, but just the music,
Instrumental,
just the instrumental. You know, because I just need to align
you were
myself in the spirit. That's the type of desire. Oh, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, that's where our heart is to be. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in
Amen.
truth. You know, let me just leave it right there. God is a spirit, and they
They
that
that
worship
worship
him
him must
must
worship him in
worship him in
spirit and in
spirit
truth.
and in truth.
Amen.
You know, the corsage doesn't make it for long.
Yes.
It's going to melt.
Yes.
You know, the put on doesn't make it. The
Veneer.
hypocrisy doesn't
Veneer.
make it. You know, it's going to hurt you one day. And
Yeah,
it's and not
thank you,
it
Jesus.
start to hurt you already.
Yeah, Jesus.
I used to listen to this song. I don't remember who sing it. I think maybe it's Rihanna. I know you're church people and you don't know about Rihanna. You're church people. You don't know Rihanna. Rihanna is one of the R&B singers. Rihanna will be singing a song to this context, and she say, "Don't tell me you're sorry, because you're only sorry because you get caught."
Jesus.
You know, because if you didn't get
Yes.
caught, you'll be continue
Don't be
living the
sorry.
lie.
You're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, you'll be
So.
continue doing what you're doing. But now that you get caught, you're going to say you're sorry. Oh,
Sorry.
the devil get in the way, and you're so sorry. You're so apologetic. You
Oh,
apologize, and you know. But you're only doing that because you get caught.
amen.
Don't let it be among us, people of God, that we are doing something that we know is wrong, and we're waiting until we are exposed before we correct that action. Now you're going to say you're sorry. You're only sorry at that time because you get caught. And you become so pitiful. You know, because you get caught,
Amen.
it wasn't your intention to quit until you get caught, because you're trying to outsmart your very self. You're trying to outsmart your very self. How long this pretense can be going on? You know, how long can you pretend for? You know, how long can you please your audience by pretending and not having, and you're still having that those nightmares when you're alone. You still can't sleep because you wake up to dreams that you entertain and whatever. You know, and you're being spiritually declining because of your very disobedience, knowing the word but not practicing the word. You know, before we invite Sister Ava to bring the welcome and the reminders, anyone has anything to share, anything you want to add before we close off tonight? Anything?
Good evening, man of God, saints of the Lord.
Good evening, Sister Kenesha.
Sister Kenesha. I'm just so, I'm acknowledging I'm on the road, so I might hear vehicle pass. Sorry about that.
Okay,
That's
sis.
and it's just a reconfirmation of the seriousness regarding the judgment of God on the church of God. Because, and we know the Bible tells us that judgment starts first in the house of God.
Amen.
The platform, Bible, fasting service, women's fellowship, every platform that I am on regarding the word of God, it's coming back to this, us as the people of God, our condition, our life,
Oh, Jesus.
hypocrisy that we live, judging his people and warning his people before their final days. There was this pastor, I have a prayer meeting that I joined on Sundays, years ago, prayer meeting, and we still have it going on. And the pastor had died, and one of the members of the meeting said, because they're close friends, she was able to go to him, during his time not feeling well, and said to him, "Listen, man, I got the awful Lego. It's not all about unforgiveness
My God.
and the harbor and bitterness." And then she said, like the next day or 2 days after he died. So I know it's not another, it is not another, "Oh, get your life right" message. It is a get your life right now message.
Yes.
We need to hold steadfast to it. There's some little, the foxes that gnaw at the vine, the small little things that we have to brush aside and brush off, because it's not out into the open. People are not gonna know. If they don't know it, they don't know. We really has as the saints of God, because I mean the things that we're
Amen.
the Lord is exposing us to. We have to get it right. We have to be like the apostles in the Acts, in the book of Acts. We have to be at that state of mind spiritually,
Oh,
spiritually,
God.
to truly stand and be as Christ is calling us to be. Gone are the days when God understand. God can.
have anger problems. The Lord know I might curse. The Lord know I'm not too kind to my husband because sometimes he gets on my nerve. The Lord knows those days are done. And that's what I'm realizing, it just came back to me and I said, my God, you're really reaching out to your people and talking to us for us to get it right. No matter what the simple thing, whatever it is, we need to get rid of it, rid ourselves of it, the things of this world in every aspect, in a holistic way, so that we can walk and not fall under the judgment of God.
Oh,
Amen.
God.
Amen.
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 Amen. And one of the common things that we always say, Sister Kenesha, is that we're only human.
Amen. Amen.
We always use that phrase that we are only human, so God will understand. You know, I got to tell this person a piece of my mind, and then I repent. That's blatant disrespect, you know, to the very name of God.
Presumptuous.
You know, presumptuous. Yeah, you're going to put down the Bible because you have something to address. You know, I see a post about a pastor lady, and she posted and said that our congregation must forgive her because, but she have to step down now because some people has been messing with her for too long, and she's going to put down the Bible and take this into address this situation, and then she will come back later day.
Sad.
You know, that's the type of world, that's the type of attack that the church is faced with today, you know, where we get so lackadaisical. We get so lackadaisical that we make things come between we and our God. You know, it's as if we lost trust in God and putting the trust in ourselves that we can fix it better than God can. You know, and it caused so much error to be among us, and so much so that we have to be in labor, you know, in order to get our heart right before Almighty God, to have that yearning, to have that desire once more again, to let the fire kindle within us, to let the fire stay lit, just like in the Old Testament, God would tell Moses to let in the tabernacle, let there be a constant light. There must be constant fire. So we be the bearer of the tabernacle now. We be the bearer of the presence of God. We must have that constant light within us. There should be no time for coldness nor lukewarmness. You know, there should be no time for us to be too comfortable with sin. You know, because our light must always be shining. And is a light that shines from within, a outer glow. You know, it's not just one that just, you know, mechanically that you have, that is on the out, just on the outside, mechanically, that you fire up when you want to fire it up and turn it off when you want to turn it off and turn it down when you want to turn it down. No, you know, it's not a light that is quenchable. It's not a light that we should quench. It is something that should be told all time. Amen. Bless the Lord. Yes, we are the walking ark. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. We are too comfortable with sin. Yeah. Yes, people
Amen.
Of God. We are at, I see a comment. I think it was Sister Joy that said that, no, Sister Hutchinson. He said the devil doesn't keep secret for long. The devil trap you and he's going to expose you. The same devil is going to expose you and he's going to laugh to you in the face. You know, and not only you alone is taking down, he's taking down 3/3 along with you, with him. You know, so, yeah, so that's it for this evening. You know, amen, amen. Yes, waiting because
amen.
We are the door. We don't know the minute. Yes, we don't know the minute. We don't know the second. You know, we are living in moments. It's just a moment that, right now. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Ava, are you ready for us? If there's no one else, anyone else have anything to share before Sister Ava come on with the reminders? Amen.
Keep
And
your heart set
follow
on
in.
God.
Go ahead, Brother Vintan.
Just keep your heart set on God. The
Amen.
world is running rampant. Just stay focused on the word and live for Jesus.
Oh God. Amen. Amen. Live for Jesus. That's all that matters. And right after Sister Ava, we'll have Sister Tamaya closing off for us in prayer and the benediction. Sister Ava.
Amen. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, sis.
Good evening,
And
sis.
on behalf of the leadership of Faith Defenders Bible Study Group, it's my pleasure to welcome you. Faith Defenders Bible Study Group mission is to bring the hope of the gospel to our community and beyond. We are a non-denominational group dedicated to knowing Christ deeply and making him known. Through the authority of Scripture, we study to grow in wisdom and to actively share our faith by inviting others into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ and to build his kingdom one person at a time. It is our vision to see a transformed community where the hope of the gospel reaches every heart. We envision a growing body of believers rooted in the truth of God's word, who are actively and personally sharing their faith, expanding the kingdom of God, one person, one small group, and one transformed life at a time. For those who were able to attend our midnight fellowship last Thursday, we had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit. Sister Camille ministered from Revelation chapter 12 under the topic anti-purpose. If you missed it, the replay is available at www.prayerportaltoheaven.com. This Thursday at 8 p.m., we will continue our Bible study on Acts of the Apostle. This will be hosted by our partner ministry, Prayer Portal to Heaven Ministry International, on the same link. It promises to be a blessing. Post it on your status and invite everyone you know. Looking forward to seeing you all on Saturday at 8 p.m. for our regular Bible study. Have a productive week winning souls for Christ by the life you live and the words that you speak. Amen. We'll now hand over to Sister Tamoya for the prayer and benediction.
Amen. Good night,
Amen.
everyone.
Bless the Lord, Sister Tamaya.
This is indeed a very deep word, Brother Scott. I'm sitting here and I'm listening to it, and I'm really digging deep in my heart because sometimes we think that we are living the life, quote unquote, and others might not see it the way we are seeing it. So sometimes we really have to drop back in again and say, God, am I doing the right thing? Am I encouraging or discouraging sinners by the way that I am living? So let us
Amen. So
approach the
true.
throne of grace.
Amen.
Oh, righteous, loving, and eternal God, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise, we give you thanks for the opportunity that we had tonight to come and feed on your word.
Yes,
Indeed,
Lord.
this is indeed a great feast. God, we thank you for your servant. We thank you, God, for giving him the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding to explain it to us, oh God, in a way that we can understand, that we can apply it to our lives.
Yes,
God, we pray
Lord.
tonight that you will continue to bless him, continue to anoint him, continue to cover him under your blood. Father,
Yes,
we pray that you
Lord
will
God.
continue to lift him up in you, oh God, that you will continue to bring your word, oh God, to your people. Father, we pray for
Oh,
each and every
Jesus.
individual on this platform tonight. God, we pray, oh God, that this word that has been planted in our hearts, that it will grow deep roots, oh God, and bring forth much fruit, that it will not
Hallelujah.
just be thrown on top of the soil for the birds to pick it up. But Almighty God, that we will apply this to our lives, oh God. Father, we give you thanks. And we pray, oh God, that you will help us to guard our hearts, because your word said, out of it flows the issues of life.
Yes.
Father, help us that where light will shine
Oh
everywhere that
God.
we go, not just in some places or for some people, but that everyone around us, Almighty God, will be encouraged by the way that we live our lives. Let our lives be a testimony rather than
Oh
our words,
Jesus.
that others
Hallelujah.
will be drawn to you, oh God, by what they see us doing rather than what they hear us saying. That we
Yes.
will be not just hearers or
Hallelujah.
teachers of the word, but doers
Oh
in the name
Jesus.
of more than
Jesus.
anything else, Almighty God. Father, help
Jesus.
us that we will not labor for the glory or the praise of man, but that
Oh
our
God.
labor will be for you, to bring sinners to you,
In
Almighty God.
Jesus' Yes,
Amen.
Lord.
Father, we pray that our desire will to become godly, to become like you.
Jesus.
Father,
Hallelujah.
that we will not just study the word, that we will not just know the word, but that we will live the word.
Yes,
Oh
Lord
God, that
God,
our
Jesus.
lifestyles, oh God, will testify for us.
Thank you,
And
Jesus.
Father, that we
Oh,
will be in a
Jesus.
place that you can speak to us the way that you spoke to Moses.
Jesus.
Father, we
Hallelujah.
pray tonight that you will be with us, oh God, that your hand will rest upon us, upon
Hallelujah.
our hearts, and upon our minds, Almighty God, as we continue to go forth and preach your word. Help us to be
Oh,
open, Almighty God,
Jesus.
to your correction. Show us, Almighty God, anything and everything in us that would cause our lights
Yes,
to go dim
Lord.
at some point.
Oh, God.
Father, we pray for your strength,
Mighty God.
Jesus.
oh God, and that you will enhance our faith in you, that we will walk steadfast with you always,
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
now and forevermore, God, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And now,
Amen.
may the love
Amen.
and the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
Amen.
the
Jesus.
full fellowship of the Holy Spirit, birth, remain, and abide with us now and
Jesus.
forevermore, we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Bless the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus. Glory to God.
God is
Amen.
good. Thank you, Sister
Amen.
Tamaya.
Thank
Thank
you,
you, Sister
Lord.
Eva.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes,
Amen. Amen.
yeah, thank you, Sister Eva,
Thank
for ably
you, Jesus.
reading for us the reminders for the weeks. Sister
Yes.
Tamaya, for closing out for us. To God be the
Thank you.
glory. Amen.
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 Praise God.
Yes, have a productive week.